Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. And today we are pleased to have in the studio with us Janice Butler with Woman of Character and also Ken Don with Heels on Wheels, and we'll have some interesting discussions on what they're up to and what they're doing in the community so far. In addition, we have the regulars, Amy Bell. Sharon Lockhart is over in the corner. She'll pitch in if she'd like to today during the interview. And Beth Wilkerson and myself, Ebony Johnson. We'll get into our discussion, but first we'll have headline news from Women's E! News by Amy Bell.
Headline news from Women's E! News. A Missouri lawmaker is introducing a bill that would subject gun buyers in the state to the same kind of restrictions that women face if they choose to have an abortion, the Huffington Post reported December 4th. State Representative Stacey Newman, a Democrat from St. Louis, has pre-filed a bill for the state legislature's 2016 session that would require buyers to wait 72 hours to make a gun purchase, which they would only be able to do at a store at least 120 miles from their home. Women in the state must wait 72 hours before they can get an abortion, and the 120-mile restriction is intended to draw attention to the long distances that women must travel to have one. Newman told the Huffington Post that since Missouri has one of the strictest abortion regulation states in the country, it makes sense to use similar restrictions to lower the high gun violence rates. African American women and Latinas have a significant gender-based wage gap in 20 states, according to data by the U.S. Census Bureau released December 4th. For every dollar paid to white non-Hispanic men in these states, on average, African American women are paid from just 48 cents to 69 cents, and Latinas from just 43 cents to 59 cents. According to an analysis of the findings by the National Partnership for Women and Families, the wage gap is most severe in Louisiana. The Senate rejected an amendment to the Affordable Care Act repeal bill that would have allowed federal funding for Planned Parenthood. The Hill reported December 3rd. President Barack Obama will veto the bill, according to multiple news sources that call the move symbolic for Republicans. The December 2nd mass shooting at an employee banquet in San Bernardino, California, was carried out by husband and wife attackers whose motives are not yet known, Yahoo News reported December 3rd. The suspects, Syed Rizwan Farouk, a 28-year-old county restaurant inspector, and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, 27, killed 14 people at the banquet before being fatally shot by police. Female mass shooters are rare. Among 160 mass shootings in the U.S. between 2000 and 2013, only six shooters were women, according to the FBI. The Pentagon announced that all combat jobs are now open to women in a historic shift in policy, the New York Times reported December 3rd. This decision overturns a 1994 Pentagon rule that restricted women from serving in artillery, infantry, and other combat roles. In a press conference, Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter said he overruled a request from the Marine Corps that asked for exemptions. Presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has won the endorsement of the Women's Chamber of Commerce, the Associated Press reported December 3rd. The organization is endorsing a presidential candidate for the first time and represents around 500,000 female entrepreneurs, business owners, executives, and workers. Sexual and reproductive health services are underfunded for women and girls who need humanitarian aid, according to a study by the United Nations Population Fund released December 3rd, Thomson Reuters Foundation reported. Women and girls of childbearing age make up roughly a quarter of the 100 million people in conflict or disaster zones who need aid, and 500 women in these situations die each day from pregnancy and childbirth complications, the study found. Stage 4 breast cancer patients who had surgery survived longer than those who did not, with a median of 28 months versus 19 months, according to a study published Wednesday in the journal JAMA Surgery. The Washington Post reported December 3rd. However, Michael Sable, the chief of surgical oncology at the University of Michigan, suggested that despite this study and others, it's still premature to suggest that removing breasts will help cancer survivors live longer. Under the hashtag Shame on Dollar General, tweeters are voicing outrage over a December 7th United States Supreme Court case that challenges tribal jurisdiction, which could impact cases of violence against Native American women committed by non-Native Americans. After a tribal minor was sexually assaulted by a Dollar General manager and sued the store for compensation, Dollar General filed its brief in the Supreme Court on August 15th, arguing that tribal courts shouldn't have jurisdiction. According to a fact sheet by the Native Alliance Against Violence, Native Americans are 2.5 times more likely to experience sexual assault crimes compared to all other races in the United States. And one in three Native American women reports having been raped during her lifetime, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. A coalition of reproductive rights organizations are demanding the Department of Justice direct the FBI to investigate the November 27th fatal shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic as domestic terrorism, according to a December 2nd press release. NARAL Pro-Choice America, Credo Action, Ultraviolet, and Courage Campaign sponsored a related petition that garnered 300,000 signatures and have sent a letter to Attorney General Lynch. Top officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say the United States could lose the war on AIDS. The New York Times reported December 2nd. In an essay for the New England Journal of Medicine published on December 1st, World AIDS Day, the officials warned that 65% of the estimated 1.2 million Americans with HIV are not on treatment. HIV has devastating outcomes for maternal health, with the CDC reporting that the number of women with HIV giving birth in the United States increased 30% between 2000 and 2006. Legal reforms in Saudi Arabia will allow single women and widows to manage family affairs without approval from a man or a court order, The Guardian reported December 2nd. The Interior Ministry will now issue family identity cards not only to men, but also to divorcees and widows, enabling them to access records, register children for schools, and authorize medical procedures. There is no known data for the change yet.
All right. Thank you for that, Amy. And now we will join with our guests, Janice and Ken, and talk more about why you're here today and just how Woman of Character started and what brought you here.
Well, thank you so much. Again, I'm Janice Butler, and I am the founder of Woman of Character Incorporated, Kansas City. And it is a domestic violence program that I've started. I am a domestic violence survivor. And after my ordeal in 1996, I just began to have a compassion for women who are and children who are facing domestic violence. One of the things that, as a survivor, my husband or ex-husband held me hostage twice in a three-week period and ended up being killed by the police. And as I started to heal from that process, and during that process, I just kind of learning who I am and kind of my emotions and feelings about women, and just my self-esteem, realizing that I dealt with low self-esteem. I began to just put together this program that said, I am a woman of character. And that was kind of one of my mantras that came out of seeing who I was through the eyes of God first. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, He created me in His image and that I am a woman of character. So as I started coming out of that depression and out of that low self-esteem, I had to really encourage myself.
Yeah.
And so now I want to share that with other women, the encouragement and the education about domestic violence, to help them to know that they don't have to settle mm-hmm. for any type of relationship, and that you can be empowered to wait for the right relationship, to make healthy relationship choices. And so that's what Woman of Character really is about. It's just helping to educate, to empower and encourage women to be the woman of character that they've been created to be.
And what are some of the highlights or, I guess, pieces of wisdom that have come to you from your experience and what led you to develop Woman of Character Incorporated?
Realizing that a lot of times we as women, we want to be in a relationship so bad that a lot of times we settle for any type of relationship.
Yeah.
And when a lot of times when you don't have that esteem or that affirmation from a father figure or as a young child, we grow up into these women, but yet still have young little girl mm-hmm. desires mm-hmm. to be affirmed and to mm-hmm. be acknowledged. And so I want to be able to help women to not necessarily get it for themselves if they don't have that affirmation from a father or from a male, mm-hmm. but to know that you don't necessarily need it specifically from them, but that you can encourage yourself. Mm-hmm. And when we can look at ourselves through the eyes and know that who we are is, you know, just this awesome woman mm-hmm. that's has a purpose mm-hmm. and also woman that has a goal and a plan and can have that in life, that we have dreams that we can aspire to and can obtain.
Yeah.
Then that's what helps us to not settle just for any type of relationship because somebody comes along and says, oh, you're pretty.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. And I'd like to hear more of that.
Yes.
He said it, so let's go with him.
Yes.
I know for just as you saying that about your own self-esteem, a lot of times I've realized the types of relationships that I've had with other people are reflections of the relationship I have with myself.
Yes.
And just that it, you know, it does really start with me.
Yes.
It really doesn't start with the other person as much as we may think that it does. It really starts with, I must not think that well about myself or feel,
right.
you know, so well about myself. And, you know, what am I dealing with or need to deal with?
Well, and that was one thing that as I started going through the process of healing was I realized that I couldn't look in the mirror and really look at that woman that was staring back at me
yeah.
and say that, oh, she's pretty, or that even I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very hard because we think that as survivors, we're just really kind of going through life, you know, but
yeah.
we're really not happy and we really don't look at where we are and who we are and have value about the person that, you know, other people see.
Mm-hmm.
We don't value ourselves and we don't think much of ourselves. And so I really had to learn how to say, I like her.
Yeah.
I just want to ask if you had trouble identifying the difference between being too hard on yourself.
Yes.
Like judging yourself
mm-hmm.
and then moving into that step where I need to make myself better.
Yes.
It sounds like the same thing. And I think intuitively we know that they're different. But when you were going through that, how did you identify when you were improving yourself and when you were judging yourself?
I really had to look at how, because my values really were formed by other people and what they thought of me and what they said about me. And I said, well, if my girlfriend likes me, then I must be doing well. Or if my, you know, my friend likes me or my brother, if they're pleased, then I must be doing well, versus saying, I've done the best that I can in whatever situation or whatever relationship that I have, and realizing that it's a two-way street. It's not just what people put on you, but you have to have something to give to them.
I like that distinction when you're looking at yourself through other people's eyes versus when you're looking at yourself through your own eyes.
Right, yeah. And we get that mixed up a lot. I think we do it more than we realize. But when you can actually stop, and that's one thing that I do with when I go out and I speak, because I'm an author and a speaker, and I go out and I tell women, take a mirror and look in the eyes of that woman that's looking back at you. And can you actually look at her and say, I like her? Because I would just cry. I mean, it was just kind of like, who is this woman? And I got to the point that I would do it over and over and over and say, oh, you're pretty, even though I didn't believe it. I didn't believe I was pretty. I knew I wasn't ugly, but I knew it was just, it was something that I had to instill in myself. I like that lady that's looking back at me.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about that process, like how you got there? Because for someone who is, for example, maybe right now in a domestic violence situation, and they know they may be in a relationship that is just not healthy for them, either even emotionally or, you know, or physically, because you can be an emotionally abusive relationship, which is just as bad, you know. But can you talk to us a little bit about how you got to the point of liking who you saw in the mirror and just connecting with her?
I think it was really the fear of being in another situation. Again, my situation was very, very traumatic. You know, when you have somebody holding you at gunpoint and then actually gets killed in front of you. But I knew I didn't want to go back to that place. And as I started really reflecting on my childhood, I looked at my dad, and there were things that I love my dad, and I was daddy's little girl, but there were things that I didn't get from him that I think would have helped me. And so when I started really recognizing, not putting blame on, but recognizing the root, trying to dig what is the root cause of me being where I am, or acting the way I do, or wanting the things that I want. And it was a long process. It's nothing that happens overnight, because basically I had to start changing my mindset. I had to start rethinking and saying, you know, using the little things, I am good enough. You know, relationships are two-way and not one, you know, because I was always giving and giving and giving and making sacrifices versus allowing people to give to me. You know, so it's kind of, again, it was a long process, but it was one that I had to do daily. It was something that I had to actually start saying out loud to myself. Janice, you are worthy. You are worth having the best. Because a lot of times we as women, we're convinced by others that you're not worth having the best. You know, you're only limited in what you can do, or and that's just not true. And so we have to, I started surrounding myself around people, my family, that would tell me and that would encourage me. And that's one thing as an abuser, one of their strategies is that they continue to demean you and to put you down and to belittle you so that you are convinced that you're nothing. But when you come out of that or start recognizing that people do love you and that they want to see the best for you, you have to really make a direct intent to surround yourself around with people who want to have your, you know, who have your best interest at heart.
Now you do have an event coming up that you can tell us a little bit more about that's coming soon. And then we have Ken Don here as well, who you guys are tag teaming on this event. So if you both could maybe share a little bit more about when that is and what's happening and what people can expect.
Well, Woman of Character, we're going to be at the Winter Holiday Shopping Extravaganza on December the 13th, which is a Sunday, from 1:30 to 4:30 at the Pavilion in Logan Woods. And we'll be talking a little bit more about what Woman of Character is about, and people can get to see what we're doing in the community, and just kind of get more information about our organization, because again, our purpose is to educate and to empower and encourage women that they can live a healthy life. And they don't, one of my mantras is, you don't have to wear the scars. And so you don't have to wear the scars of domestic violence. You don't have to wear the scars of abuse. And Heels on Wheels is helping to facilitate that.
That's me. Yeah, Ken, that's you.
Well, you know, I just kind of want to back up a little bit, because when Janice first came to me, you know, Janice and I went to high school together, and I'll openly say that I graduated in 79. I'm not going to say what year Janice graduated. But when she came and asked, she asked me about being on her board. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a twofold purpose when I thought about it. Because I thought about the fact of what she had to go through, mm-hmm. for it to even be necessary for her to have an organization for me to be on the board. Mm. And, you know, and so that was a little disheartening. Mm-hmm. But if you know Janice has been the same all of her life. She's and when she talks about, she has to reinforce herself to say that, oh, I'm beautiful, I'm attractive, yeah. which just blows me away, because she's a beautiful woman both inside and out. I consider her to be my sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so when she asked me about being on this board, I was like, yeah, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as part of being on the board, you really have to come up with some ways to get her foundation mentioned, get it in the public, hopefully help her with, you know, financially and that kind of thing. And so that's where this came about. I was really trying to figure out, as a board member, how we could really push Woman of Character forward. Mm-hmm. And it just came to me. So we have invited several vendors out for that day. We'll have women's handbags, clothing, shoes, desserts. We're going to have someone out that
desserts.
That does,
yes.
food. That's my favorite.
That's your favorite. Well, come on out. But also cosmetics, and we're going to have a caterer there, and you know, they're going to pass out food. But all of that, and that's great. Somebody asked me one day how I got in, you know, what made me do it, mm-hmm. and I said, well, yeah, this is fine, you know, getting vendors out and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for me, it always goes back to one thing, and that's Woman of a Character Incorporated, and making sure that people get this message. Mm-hmm. When Janice speaks, the first time I heard her tell her story, and you guys heard a condensed version today, mm-hmm. the first time I heard her tell her story, it practically brought me to tears. Mm-hmm. Because this is somebody that I've known forever, and I had no clue that she was going through that. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I would say Janice is guilty of is I constantly have to kind of push her a little bit, you know, because
yes, he does.
Because she really doesn't know what she has. She really doesn't get just how powerful a speaker she is, how intuitive she is. And when she gets through speaking, there's typically a line of people, you know, there just asking questions and that kind of thing. So to be able to sponsor this was an absolute pleasure for me. And so, again, if you want to know more about it, please do come see her and get a chance to talk to her. Again, it's at the Pavilion at Logan Woods, 14831 East U.S. 40 Highway, and that's in Kansas City, Missouri. If you want more information, you can contact me directly, 816-582-6474.
Okay. I just want to say, though, that I do think that you've articulated some concepts really well that are really hard to put your finger on. Mm-hmm. And do you find that women are hearing this and going, oh, that's what's happening to me.
Yes.
That's what I'm going through.
And that's exactly why I go out and I share my story with them, is because they can relate to somebody who's been through it. Mm-hmm. And they can say, oh, wow, she went through that. You know, wow, I'm going through those similar things. Even if it's just from verbal abuse, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, wow. You know, maybe this is something that I need to look at. I'm not saying that you need to leave him just because, but again, it's helping you to see who you are and to see that you are worth, you know, having the best in your life. And that's what Woman of Character is all about, is to encourage women that we don't have to settle just to be in a relationship. You know, when we bring our standards up, then it makes everybody else bring their standard up. But sometimes we have to set the standard, and sometimes people just don't know how to set those standards.
Yeah. One of the things that I like as well is, can you mention, well, I didn't know she was had gone through this. This is somebody I know. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we feel that way, even in our own families and friends. And you may think, oh, that person, no, mm-hmm. they got it together. They could never suffer from low self-esteem, right. or they could, you know, never feel this way. And I feel like a lot of us do feel, at least at some point, yes. you know, we all struggle with low self-esteem or, you know, self-judgment, as you mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, Amy, and sometimes an inability to, well, we at least we feel like we can't look in the mirror at ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, and really say, I really love you, right. not based on a condition or, you know, yes. something else, but knowing that you yourself are lovable.
Right. What, and one of the things I have to, one of the statistics about abuse or domestic violence is that one out of four women is abused in their lifetime. Either they have been, they are being, or they will be. And so if you think of that low number, you know, just with the women that are in this room, of course, myself being one, there's some type of abuse that we've gone through, or that you know somebody that is going through. And so sometimes it helps with a friend to be able to identify with their friend when they see mood changes, or and to be able to ask them, you know, are you okay? Is everything okay in your relationship? You know, not to be nosy, but also just to give them that support and to let them know that, you know, you don't have to walk this journey by yourself.
It's always good to ask people if they're okay. Mm-hmm. I've asked people that question before and found, no, they really weren't okay. And maybe they just needed a Tylenol. Maybe they had a bad headache. Mm-hmm. But you see somebody acting different and you ask, are you okay? Maybe you have the opportunity to help them heal,
exactly.
even if it's something little.
Exactly. And you have to also understand that with abuse, because a victim is isolated from their, you know, their family and their friends, a lot of times there's the shame and the guilt of having to share that with someone that you love, because you don't want them to know, oh, I don't have it all together.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we think. But when we do share, it brings power, it brings empowerment to the person who is sharing and say, you know what, I'm strong enough to get help. I'm strong enough to voice what's going on so that somebody can help me. And a lot of times that's all that a woman needs, is just to know that somebody is there to care about them.
Well, this is Sharon. I've stayed quiet as long as I can. I've done a little straw poll here, and there are five women in this room, and I know for a fact three of us have been abused emotionally and mentally and physically, because there are different types of
yes.
abuse. And it's kind of really timely. I came prepared today to fill in some time with, for years I taught a class at Community University with some other women, how to be a bitch. That's a being in total charge of herself. And as women, we're not taught to be in charge of ourselves. And I developed all kinds of material and handouts mm-hmm. to lead that class. And I just happened to have with me something about to help women think about the relationship they're in.
Okay.
Ebony's going to read that.
So we have here the basic rights in a relationship. Besides understanding the various categories of verbal abuse and recognizing the abuser's reality, it is useful to understand the basic rights of relationship which are violated by verbal abuse. Following is a list of some of these rights. The right to goodwill from the other.
Mm-hmm.
The right to emotional support. The right to be heard by the other and to be responded to with courtesy. The right to have your own view, even if your mate has a different view. The right to have your feelings and experience acknowledged as real. The right to receive a sincere apology for any jokes you find offensive. The right to clear and informative answers to questions that concern what is legitimately your business. The right to live free from accusation and blame. The right to live free from criticism and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The right to have your work and your interests spoken of with respect.
the right to encouragement, the right to live free from emotional and physical threat, the right to live free from angry outburst and rage, the right to be called by no name that devalues you, the right to be respectfully asked rather than ordered.
Wow, that's those good, are amazing.
Yeah. I will give you a copy.
Please, thank you. That will help because those are rights. And a lot of times people, when we start talking about domestic violence and the rights of women, mm-hmm. the first thing people say is, well, are you men bashing? No, we're just saying that we have our rights and that we want them to be respected. And I think that's what that list is all about, is respecting who we are as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that I see when people say, oh, this is against men, no. I mean, when you're raising a little boy, do you want them to be the man that's right. going to get shot by the police?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. No. Because you're that violent mm-hmm. in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it helps men when we all say no. We're going to work together.
We're going to work together, exactly.
And I think to your point, Amy, about, you know, do you want to raise the man that will be shot by the police? Because at the flip side of that, both people were hurting in the relationship.
Exactly.
You know, so both were suffering from low self-esteem.
Exactly.
And, you know, and when one person gets better, it automatically has to help in some way the other person get better, even if it's to know, hey, maybe this isn't working anymore mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I tell women, that is to look at the men that you're involved with, because sometimes they don't know how to love. They don't know what love really is to give you what you need. And so you can't, I don't blame men, because a lot of this is taught. A lot of this is seen from their childhood. And like mm-hmm. you said, their low self-esteem or their esteem about themselves, whether it be low or high.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I say is that we have to teach them as well. We have to encourage the men to be the men mm-hmm. that, you know, that I say that God has called them to be the heads that God's called them to be the protector, to be the of the woman, and to lead her so that they can get to wherever they're supposed to be in life together.
Mm-hmm. You know, my background is in mental health, and the one thing that I realize as a mental health professional is usually those people that abuse have been abused themselves.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. so we have to take that in consideration, because mm-hmm. as much assistance as that person that has been abused needs, that abuser needs that much help also.
Yeah.
You know, typically when we start looking at women that have been in those abusive situations, we start thinking about post-traumatic stress disorder mm-hmm. and we start thinking about, you know, some type of depression.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at those that have been abused, beyond a shadow of a doubt, at one point or another in their life, they have been overshadowed and abused mm-hmm. by somebody that was put into their life to lead them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's mother, father, sister, brother,
mm-hmm.
so we, it's two sides to the coin,
mm-hmm.
and everybody can stand some help in this situation.
And I just want to say real quickly, I know we're talking about women on this show, but I want to make it clear that women are not the only ones that are being abused. There are cases now where men are being abused by women.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we can no longer just. I think women reported more when they reported, but men are also being abused. So like Ken said, both people in that relationship need help.
Well, that's something that we were actually talking about before coming into the studio today. In relation to the shooting that happened in San Bernardino, it kind of, when they first started reporting on it, it was a man that did the shooting and his wife was also
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And our country does have a hard time recognizing that women are fully autonomous beings with the full range of emotional capability, mm-hmm. including mm-hmm. evil.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
There are bad women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just so naturally nurturing that we can do no mm-hmm. wrong.
Right.
That isn't really unhealthy way to view women, and I think we saw that happen when there was this kind of downplaying of the role of a female mass shooter.
Mm-hmm.
She was an evil woman.
Mm-hmm.
That women can be evil. It's a
yeah.
thing.
Yes, yes, it's happening.
We need to take a station break, but we will be right back.
Thank you.
I love Paris in the springtime.
It's a party for Frank Sinatra, Saturday, December 12th, celebrating what would have been his 100th birthday. Details at kcjazzambassadors.com and Kansas City Jazz Ambassadors Facebook. For tickets, 816-886-8369.
In support of KKFI.
KKFI Holiday Auction is December the 12th at Ollie's Local, 31st and Gillum Road, 6 to 10 p.m. with live and silent auctions, raffles, and live entertainment from Jessica Page, The Match Sellers, Ivory Black, and Loaded Goat. Auction packages include a weekend at Table Rock Lake, nights at the Aladdin Hotel or the Hotel Phillips, shows in Branson, the Steel Drivers at Folly Theater, shows at the Riot Room, and vinyl packages. KKFI's Holiday Auction is December the 12th, Ollie's Local, 31st and Gillum, 6 to 10 p.m.
Hey, Michael, the guys in the Fallout Shelter want to know what's on the next Arts Magazine show.
Well, get your tin hat on, Phil, because the Barn Players will join us, and they're going to tell us about their new presentation, the 6x10 Playwrights Festival. Then later, the Unicorn Theater will be here, and they'll tell us about their new play, Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
A post-electric play. Okay. Stock up on those perishables, Phil.
Monday at noon, Arts Magazine show.
All right, and we're back, and Janice and Ken are sticking around, and we're going to keep going, and Sharon's pulled up to the mic, so we're going to expand the conversation. And Sharon, you had some other things to share as well that you were discussing as we talked about the rights in a relationship.
Well, yes, over the years, it's been a passion of mine, having been abused some 35 years ago, and I can still put myself right back in that place with the PTSD. If a man calls me a name, yes. I just get to, inside of me just goes, you yes. know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just raises his voice.
Right.
At me,
right.
I still have.
Yeah.
You know, you go right back to that place.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And while I learned to reassert yourself and to become to regain self-esteem is very difficult. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to learn how to do that. I don't know for me, it was when I finally learned to use my voice. And just when I think something, I say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't hold back. If I'm offended by a blonde joke, I tell people that's offensive. Mm-hmm. When I used to just keep quiet inside, and I lost that respect for myself by not speaking mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like I have another wonderful thing that I got in 1991. I'm going to ask. This is a mantra I brought to share with everyone. Okay. Who would
Shall
like
I
to
read
that? This is something. Go ahead and
okay.
read that.
All right. Me. Truth visiting. Be prepared to risk everything you hold precious for the truth inside you. Truth is empowering. And to speak the truth is to overcome the fear of death. And on the other side of hell lies paradise. That's beautiful from Revisiting Our Souls series.
Yes. I think you can Google Jane Evershed and see she does wonderful art and has tons of sayings like that. And that is marvelous. That's been something I've been living by since that was given to me in a card in 1991. Mm-hmm. And it just spoke to me.
And I think just about finding your voice, Amy and I have had some conversations about becoming a woman and just kind of like the sacrifices and things you deal with and, you know, and just all sorts of emotions that come along with that. And I think that just knowing that I do have a voice and it is just as important as anyone else's voice. And at the same time, recognizing everybody else's voice is just as important as well. And that I can respect myself and another person at the same time. And I think, Janice, you mentioned too about focus so much on giving and not realizing the value too of being receptive to love. Because I think that's sometimes how we feel so empty because we're only focusing on it from the one side, you know, I've got to give all of these things, but not also realizing that, and then to be able to receive all of these things are equally important.
Exactly, because I think just going back to the saying.
That you said to risk everything that you hold precious for the truth inside you. I think that is so important because, like you said, we give, but yet we don't really know how to receive. Or we think that we shouldn't receive. Mm. And that's, I think sometimes women are taught that you're supposed to give everything that you have in a relationship, and what you give back is just enough. You know, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yet we have to value ourselves, like you said, mm-hmm. to know that I deserve just as much as I'm giving to you. Mm-hmm. And because that's what makes the relationship strong. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, and will you have problems? Yes. Will you have arguments? And I tell people all the time that it's not about having disagreements, because you will have disagreements in your relationship, but it's how do you fight? How do you fight? How do you fight with and when I say fight, I'm not talking about physically fighting, but how do you argue? How do you deal with the conflict that may arise? Because conflicts will arise. Mm-hmm. And there is a fine line, I think, between what's normal and what can be abusive. Because if you think it's abusive to you, then it is abusive. Yeah. You know, what I might think is abusive, someone else may be like, oh, that's okay. But until we start really looking deep within ourselves and being able to risk everything that we hold precious to know what our truth is, you can't really understand what someone else's truth is.
Well, and I think what you're talking about is called fighting fair. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in relationships, we don't know how to argue right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is when you are in the midst of an argument, is that you have to take time to make sure that part of the person is understanding what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And you can do that simply by saying, okay, I've stated what I felt. What did you hear? Mm-hmm. Repeat back to me what you heard. And you go back and forth, and that way you make sure both parties are being heard. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes when we're in the midst of an argument, we are so busy looking over your point so that we can get to our point.
Yeah,
you know, that we miss everything altogether.
That's right.
Well, I have a really wonderful relationship that I've had since I was pretty young, and we struggled so much with figuring out how to argue. I mean, that is not a little thing, because I mean, when we got married, we even had like counseling sessions over that. Like, we need to make sure that you know how to argue. It's like, well, we don't, because I would rather just stand there and hash it out and let's work through this and then mm-hmm. be done with it. And he wants to, you know, take some space and get away. And it turned into just like really bad stuff. I mean, it is no small thing to work out how you're going to argue. It actually takes some planning sometimes. Like, how are we going to do this?
I happen to have ground rules for handling conflict that Janice is going to read.
And this is by John A. Larson, PhD. There's 20 of them, but the first one is, take full responsibility for your feelings and actions. Don't blame others for what you feel or do. Number two, always be honest. Don't lie to protect someone or avoid a confrontation. Maintain respect for yourself and the other. Don't degrade, call names, or compare. Four, respect and appreciate differences. Don't insist on thinking and feeling the same way. That's huge.
Yeah.
Five, recognize that you see imperfectly and have blind spots. Mm-hmm. Don't assume you have a corner on the truth. Six, take initiative to confront a problem. Don't wait for the other to make a move. Center on the problem at hand. Don't throw up the past or make provocative remarks. Woo! Focus on actions and events. Don't judge or attack the other person. Be specific and concrete. Don't make vague, sweeping statements. Put your anger into words. Don't resort to force, intimidation, or violence. Express your disappointments. Don't nag, pout, or complain. Share your hurts. Don't bury them, letting them fester inside. Use self-disclosing I statements. Don't make accusing you statements. State your needs and wants clearly. Don't expect another to read your mind.
Speak only for yourself. Don't put words in another's mouth. Reach for a compromise. Don't try to win by getting your way. Strive for mutual understanding. Don't just try to get your point across. Deal directly with each other. Don't involve a biased third party. Negotiate an end to an argument you cannot handle. Don't cut off or withdraw. And number 20, arrange to discuss an unfinished matter later. Don't let it go unresolved. These are really good.
Yeah. It speaks to self-confidence as well.
Yes.
Because I think, if I think for myself, whether you be, I feel like being arrogant and shy are flip sides of the same coin. And so, it's really the same thing, but both looking for that genuine confidence of my ability to just speak on how I feel and at the same time be able to hold space for how the other person feels as well.
And I was going to say, I think that was an outstanding list. But one of the things, and sometimes you can really learn from people that have been around here for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you hear older people say is never go to bed angry.
Yeah, right.
And if you can work that out before you go to bed, that's the best thing, because you allow that anger to fester. Mm-hmm. And when it festers overnight, mm-hmm. you may not be able to come back from it. But one of the things that on that list that really stood out for me was don't degrade or attack that person.
Yeah.
Because we know how we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you start talking down to me, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm gonna come back at you. Mm-hmm. And we're not gonna get anything accomplished at all. And then another one that was on that list in a roundabout way was compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to compromise in a relationship,
right,
or you will never get anything accomplished.
Right.
You're just going round and round. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, and I'll say this very quickly, is that oftentimes we go and we're raised in those typical quote unquote male female ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I'm the man, so I should take care of the money and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. My ex-wife was a much better financial person than I ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I cook better than she did.
So
all of those traditional things are not always true. And I think in a relationship, people have to find out what works best for them in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My husband is hands down the better cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't even hardly let me in the kitchen anymore. I stabbed myself in the stomach cutting a potato.
Wow.
So can I add, though, to this list? I feel like one of the things that I'd like to see on there is the don't apologize unless you mean to apologize.
Oh, my gosh, Amy, I'm so with you on that.
I am really tired, and this isn't in intimate relationships. It's even in friend relationships.
Yes.
People say things, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yes.
That's not an apology.
Right. Yes.
I'm sorry, but you're about to not apologize.
Well, I think all of these, though, and I tell women whenever I go out and speak, is we're basically, this list is where we've set standards. You've got to set standards and boundaries. And you have to know what your boundaries and your standards are. Because when we don't know what they are, we will move them. We'll keep moving them. And we'll make concessions when we shouldn't. And then we confuse the other party. Because, one time you moved it. Next time you didn't accept it, mm-hmm. And so we have to
stick consistency.
With,
yes.
Yeah.
When you were reading the list, it was something that really hit me was the inside hurting, because what happened with me was when I was a child, and then, when I got older, got married, got divorced and everything, I made connections with someone else that was abused, and he was abusive himself. Mm-hmm. And so it took many, many years. In fact, now he's my ex, and he's still, getting and making abusive statements. And so you just kind of got it.
Well, and one thing that I had to learn was I've been married 3 times, and I kept picking the same type of man, not knowing or thinking that, this one's better than the last one. Well, I'm now in a relationship, wonderful relationship. We respect one another. We can talk. We communicate. We come to resolve when we have issues. And it is so amazing, because
I learned how to set those standards and to set those boundaries. I learned some of these things from the list, that to be able to say what I need to say, mm-hmm. and you say it, you know, you don't, like Kim was saying, you don't jab and you don't, right. you know, make those little nasty remarks or sarcastic remarks.
That can be hard to do sometimes.
It can.
Yeah.
It can. But to apologize when that happens, or to when you know.
And actually apologize.
Sincerely apologize. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that hurt your feelings. It's not.
Yeah. It's on you.
But I think we learn how to fight again. Mm-hmm. It goes back to learning how do we resolve conflict.
Yeah. But, I was just going to say, you know, the hard part is when you've been in an unhealthy relationship,
yes.
It's difficult to come out of that,
yes.
you know, because you always go back to, well, when that past relationship, this happened in that past relationship, this is what that meant. So you mm-hmm. take that out on that next person. You know, we all do it. It's difficult to get past. But in one way or another, we have to look at each person individually. And I just want to say we're so glad that Janice has found this guy.
Yeah.
We are so glad.
He's amazing.
But I think again,
oh, trust me, it's been a long journey. It's been a long journey. It's been over 20 years, but
yeah. That's what I feel just listening to your story and everyone else's as well, that we're in this constant dynamic relationship with ourselves on it. Mm-hmm. You're the one who you are with all the time, mm-hmm. you know.
That's a good point.
And it's mm-hmm. just, it's, am I really, how do I feel being with me
yeah,
all the
absolutely.
Time? Because that's who
absolutely.
I'm with mm-hmm. all yeah. the time, whether I'm with the guy I'm in love with or mm-hmm. my sister or my mother mm-hmm. or on a beach by myself, I'm still with me.
Absolutely.
I'm the one constant, you know, that's in all of those, that web, yeah. you know,
and
relationships.
And when you talk about, and Janice had talked about, you know, picking the same type of guy over and over again, the one constant in that situation was Janice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so at one point or another, you do have to look at yourself and determine what am I doing wrong. And to your point, Ebony, you know, that saying that, you know, wherever you go, there I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to, you have to take a look at yourself sometimes.
Well, and the thing that I had to learn and I try to impart to others is when you are by yourself, when you get out of that relationship, find out who you are. Take yourself on a date. Go out and eat. I used to go out and eat by myself all the time, but I learned what I liked and what I didn't like. I would go to the show, or I would go to the park. I would spend time in different places and in different types of environments just to see what Janice liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that I didn't know what Janice did or didn't like for mm-hmm. a long time. And now I do. And that helped me to be able to voice my concerns, or voice, you know, when I say, no, I don't like that, then no, I don't like that.
Well, and then it becomes so much easier to meet yes. someone. I mean, and I never had the same sort of problem in romantic relationships, but I've had really abusive friendships
mm-hmm.
where I wasn't stating who I was and mm-hmm. what I liked, mm-hmm. and when, you know, being really authentic in friendships. And when I was able to do that, you only met people who you actually liked.
Yes.
If you're, this is what I like, and they said, I like that too, and you're really good friends, and the people who didn't want to be friends with you, boy, it saves you a lot of time.
Yeah,
you are so right. You are so right. It's two ways.
It is. And I think, and I definitely, a lot of people are dealing with this even now, and even as we talked about, just the ways to communicate how we feel about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at all of the events that are going on in the world today, and how do we deal with anger? You know, what mm-hmm. is a healthy, creative way to express what are we so angry
yes.
about?
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that I'm not going to go out and physically assault someone
right.
else or hurt myself, you know, or even emotionally,
mm-hmm.
Either way, but some of these things are helping us to be more creative, and whether we engage in dynamic conversations, create poetry, paint, you know, go out and exercise it out, dance it out, you know, just finding various ways to handle things that I think in the past we haven't really realized. What do we do with all of these feelings? You know, when I look at something that's happened on the news, or when I have a disagreement with a friend, what do I do with it?
Right.
You know?
Well, and another thing that I tell women, and I'm throwing out these tidbits to really help maybe someone that as they're kind of going through the same process, or that they may begin this journey, is I had to learn that I'm only responsible for me.
Good point.
I'm not responsible for the other person.
That's right.
And so when I looked at it that way, then I realized what they do is on them.
Yeah.
What I do may affect them, but it's I'm still responsible
for
it. Yeah. And I think sometimes to your point earlier about sometimes just giving and not being able to receive, we can take on responsibility. You can be overly responsible.
Yes.
So I'm responsible for how I feel and how you feel too.
Mm-hmm.
And my actions and your actions. Mm-hmm. And, No.
I hate to break this up.
Yeah.
I just really hate to break this up. And Amy evidently got a very, a phone call from someone who's really enjoying this conversation. Maybe we need to continue this at another time. I do want to announce that the Holly Day Sales is taking place at the Ararat Shrine Temple until 7 p.m. tonight. That's west of 435, and it'll be there from 10 till 7 tomorrow. And also, does anybody remember that announcement? There's the Power of Sisterhood that I sent out. It's taking place Monday night at 6:30, and it looks like a really great event. And I can't even tell you. Maybe if you Google the Power of Sisterhood, it was race and gender.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
We aren't prepared to make that announcement, but yes, okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Janice Butler with Woman of Character and Ken Dime with Heels on Wheels for coming and just engaging in great conversation. And just for more information about your event, can they email you, Ken, and call you as well?
They can call me directly, 816-582-6474. Or they can email me at kdawn, that's KDAWN, at kchillsonwheels.com.
Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.